Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Now, back to more.
Carmen and Yurko.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Happy Friday, live in the old National Bank station.
Welcome back, brother.
Studios.
Good to see you. Hope you got done everything you needed to get done yesterday, brother.
It is good to be back.
You all right?
Yes.
So it's good to see you back.
It is good to be 100% back.
100% healthy and ready to rock.
Ready to rock
teeth
and roll.
Teeth look good.
Thank you.
Dennis did one hell of a job.
Mike was complimenting my teeth on the Odds Couple podcast.
Dennis did one hell of a job.
I never had braces, so I don't know what that means, that the dentist did a nice job. I don't know.
Well,
what
I thought
means.
You had a something with the bicuspid yesterday. You had to go into the dentist. That's why you had to miss work.
Do you want to hear something bad?
No.
I haven't been to the dentist since COVID.
Wait, I think you need to go.
I desperately need to go.
Yeah.
COVID threw a wrench in everything. Like, I had my appointment on the books, as I always do, like June of.
Right.
Or maybe it was September
of
2020.
They haven't called you?
They've been trying to track me down, and I've just been in there.
You've been ignoring them. You got a good set of choppers. I don't think it matters. But getting them cleaned every 6 months is kind of necessary. Yeah.
I take very good care of my teeth.
Right. I don't see any tartar buildup or anything like that. I think you're all right.
I drink a lot of coffee, so the stain.
You wake up in the morning and run your tongue over your teeth and feels like they're wearing sweaters?
Disgusting.
No, yeah.
I brush right away in the morning.
Yeah, well, you should.
I floss. I brush like at least twice a day, sometimes three. So I take good care of my teeth.
Good.
It's also very genetic. When you have cavities, cavity problems are very genetic. Did you know that?
So if your mom and dad have problems, you're going to have problems too.
It is a genetic thing.
Probably because you're in the same household. Is it more environmental than it is genetic?
It's got something to do, as a dentist once explained it to me, the way my teeth are so close together.
Right.
That I have like a lot of natural food traps, because I have way too many cavities, in my opinion, for somebody who brushes his teeth as often as he does. Right. I have like five cavities.
You've got food traps.
And so I said to my dentist once, I'm like, how could this be, like, the way I brush my teeth? And she said, it's genetic. And I go, so I don't have to brush them? She's like, no, I wouldn't tell you that, but it's genetic. You could be the best in the world at taking care of your teeth, and you might be born with a disposition or predisposition to get cavities. What the hell? Go figure.
It happens.
Yeah. So I haven't been to the dentist in like 2 years because of stupid COVID. I need to go.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I mean, how much do you want? Good head of hair.
That's true.
Good looks. I mean, what do you want? What do you want?
I'll take the head of hair.
So your brothers, both your brothers are going, okay, he's got teeth problems. Good for him.
Yeah.
As they sit there bald as the day is long. All right?
Good point.
So they're probably happy you got teeth problems.
Touche.
Yeah. Quit your whining.
We have a big Friday show for you. A lot of football. There's also a major TV anniversary today.
A major anniversary.
Yep. Yeah. It was once voted the greatest television show of all time by TV Guide.
Oh,
remember
Cheers.
The TV Guide?
I love Cheers. Yeah. What a great show. It's not
do you
Cheers.
Think Tyler Aki knows what the TV Guide is. Like, if we said, would he know what that meant with the publication?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. The crossword in there was always fun to do.
He didn't know John Candy. How's he going to know the TV Guide?
That is a long way away from him. I mean, you know, you can't be that upset. TV Guide. I mean, it's not like we didn't know some things. We had no idea.
When do you think the last time we actually relied on the TV Guide was? When did it become?
They used to print the TV schedule in the paper every day.
Right.
Probably when 7,000 channels started coming on.
Like, at about the time. When did the guide? Like, what I'm saying is, when did it become that every time you picked up your remote on your TV and turned it on or spoke into
it, there was a guide on it?
The guide came up.
I think that's about 05, 06, 07, kind of like that.
Does that sound right, guys? Is that about when the TV guide?
I kind of remember when I DirecTV had a guide on there all the time. So DirecTV.
You're talking about the channel or the actual
magazine? I'm talking about the actual magazine.
The little pamphlet.
I'm talking about the actual magazine.
Yeah, that probably sounds right. Maybe earlier.
Maybe 02. Yeah.
Late 90s, perhaps.
Late 90s, early 2000s. Like, we just stopped needing the TV Guide.
2008.
Well, because there was a channel dedicated to it on cable.
There was. There was that, too.
So there was the TV Guide channel, which just rolled the scroll of the channels, which I would argue in today's society is still necessary.
You think so?
Yeah. You know, there's something to someone curating something and not you picking on demand everything. Because you're going to end up just only watching what you want to watch.
That's a good point.
Back in the day, you would stumble across a movie, a TV show you didn't expect to enjoy, And then, boom, you enjoyed it.
Well, I'd say the Nature Channel is one of those things, you know, where you just stumble across and all of a sudden you're on the
You go to Netflix. It is curated to the things that you've previously selected. Therefore, you are only seeing things that you are algorithmically expected to enjoy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Right. I mean,
the guide was just everything.
So how do you branch out? You're right.
You don't.
Everything is so targeted to specifically know you and your habits. Like, that's a good point. Does anybody channel surf anymore? I feel like I do just because I'm older. Like, how many people are actually channel surfing?
I do. I go to my guys. You can go to
We're a little older, though.
Right, that's my point.
You can go on DirecTV from, like, 230 to about 280 and go up to see what's being offered that specific day. It's easier if I go to the guide and I scroll through to find out exactly what's on. But every blue moon, I'll be on 230, which is the Food Network, or one of the two, 230, 231 are. And then I'll go up through there, up through the 40s, where TNT and USA are, into the 50s, where you get some of your movies that Wolf of Wall Street might be on, or many of the Marvel movies show themselves on there. So you go there, and then in the 270s, where you have Discovery Channel, you can see Gold Rush, Storage Wars, all that kind of crap.
So you're surfing,
but that's all American on pickers. The guide, right, Yurk?
Right, I can look in the guide, but, or if I'm bored, I'll just go through the channels and see if something tickles my fancy.
You'll surf.
See, that's old school.
That's the way we used to do it,
is you would just blindly go to the channels that existed and be like, oh, I wonder what's here.
Yeah. I still do that,
but this sucks.
I think we're in...
You know, this sucks.
We're in, an ever-aging minority, potentially, that does it. Like, kids 100%. Today probably don't do that, or young people don't do that. That's the question of the day, everybody. Do you channel surf? 312-332-3776. I did disrespect Black a little bit. I don't know what I was thinking. Sometimes I get carried away. These guys aren't that young. They're not.
No, they're right here with us.
And I know Black likes Seinfeld.
Especially you.
Today is the 30th anniversary of the episode known as, I believe that was not only just what it's affectionately known as, but it was also the actual title of the episode, The Contest. The contest in which Jerry and Kramer and George and Elaine decided to see who could go the longest without masturbating. You know, back in 1992, NBC didn't want to use the... Can we say that word?
I don't know.
Well, you just did.
I just did. I think we could say that,
I mean, I think if you went with Polish the Porpoise, I thought
we were going to... I mean, dance around the subject.
I thought we
were
going to do some dancing.
I think you need to be a little. I mean, you can't just say the word.
Bopping the bishop or something.
Enjoying themselves.
Self gratification.
Yeah.
Right. Here, this is how the episode started.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hi. What's the matter?
My mother caught me.
Caught you doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean?
She caught you? Where?
I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started leaving.
Glamour?
So one thing led to another.
So what did she do?
First, she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was going to faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
It's the best. The Glamour magazine. We used to have to use magazines. It was long before the internet was readily available for us. And it's 30 years ago.
I was just queried if the term that you used is a medical term.
I believe so.
Who said that?
The guy that runs the place. I believe it's a medical term, isn't it?
I hope so.
Of course it is. That's what a doctor would tell
you. It's a scientific term.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Come on. It's 2022. They didn't want to use that word, and that's why they famously said they called it master of my domain, master of your domain, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But it's
maybe you should have arced in that direction.
Well, all right. I will refrain from using the other term. I wasn't sure if that was a no-no or not.
Thank you for having refrained after we already said it on the air.
Either way, if we had played the sound would have told us exactly what direction we were going.
That's true.
Yes.
Chris was, I started telling Chris, I'm like, hey, Chris, today's the anniversary of the contest. It was this episode. And he's like, do you not think that I love that episode? Chris is a big Seinfeld fan. He's older. old enough to remember the days.
I just like the way that you were explaining to me next to Abdallah and Yurko, like I was like 15 years younger, 20 years younger. Like, so there's this contest where they were doing X, Y, and Z. And as they're doing it, there's this whole, and I looked at you, I'm like, I know the episode. It's like one of the most famous episodes in television history.
It is.
You only got 7 years on them, right?
Rated number one. Yeah, I'm probably about 7, 8 years older than these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are in the same neighborhood.
We are. We're very close.
Yeah.
I think we just missed the cutoff in terms of which generations we are.
You're young. I'm Gen X, right?
Yeah.
And we're elder millennials.
They're elder
geriatric millennials to
and
some.
I'm young Gen X, yeah. So there you go. So we just missed each
I mean, me to them is that's a gap. That's a gap and a half. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's crevasse.
You're like on the old end of Gen X, right? Aren't you?
Who? I have no idea. We didn't label ourselves.
No.
We didn't care. You know, does it matter?
I feel like you're on the old end of Gen X and I'm on the young
end. I don't even know what it means. All I know is I get up in the morning, I live my life, and do what I want.
Hey, I do the same.
There we go.
Yeah, a generation of Americans born between 1965 and 1980. Now, you were born in Germany, but you came here as a very young boy.
I'm
you're on like the older end, and I'm on the younger end. Yeah, and then these guys are on that older millennial scale.
Yeah. And you know, then they'll sit there and they'll paint with a broad brush and tell you what you are. Yeah, go blow it out your keister. I don't care.
I'm a product of the 80s.
I am who I am.
You're a product of the 70s. I'm a product of the 80s.
No, actually, I'm a product of the 80s. I mean, my formative years were in the 80s. That's when I was in high school, and it's when I was in college.
So we're both kind of like crossover 80s into 90s.
Yeah.
High school was 90s for me. So.
70s, youthful. Grade school is the 70s, Carm.
Grade school for you. Yeah.
My formative years, though.
Your formative years.
When you become a young man.
You're a product of the 80s. That's good. Yeah.
When you cross over into a pubescent teen, a pre-pubescent teen, into a man, a monster. I think we need to get away from the whole Gen X, Gen Y, this guy, that guy, millennial, post-millennial, crappy Manila. Doesn't matter.
Well, you got to characterize. You got to come up with a class.
Baby boomers.
You got to characterize.
The golden generation, Carm.
The golden generation.
Who are they?
I believe that was the greatest generation.
Yeah, whatever.
That was my grandparents.
Oh, the greatest generation.
The greatest generation.
Great.
Yes. I believe.
Well, they must have named themselves, huh?
I think that maybe, I don't know why that came about.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know who decided.
I don't know.
That they were so great.
They
won two world wars.
Some crackpot sitting in the corner says, we were the greatest generation.
Back-to-back World War champs. I think that's why they defined them as the greatest generation.
I got you.
Yeah. You can ring us up today to talk about Seinfeld and the contest, what you do in your spare time, or football. Yurko's going to give us his keys to the game a little bit later on. Our Cover 5, Mike North's got the bonus play. Still got a lot of good action on the Cover 5, man. It's not too late either.
No, like, it's not.
You could still win the weekly prizes. I mean, at this point, winning the ultimate prize as we hit week 11.
Still a chance. You go on a 7-week run and score 200 points easily. Easily.
Like if you're crazy good at it and you're picking the right winners, if you get on a heater over the last 7 weeks.
Yesterday was worth 13 points if you bet Tennessee.
Yes, it was.
That's a one hell of a start.
That would have been a nice start.
You get 5 13s, that's 65. You know where you're at? You're right in the mix.
You know, I bet Tennessee last night, but I never put it into my Cover 5.
I'm not sure.
I did have a small wager on Tennessee getting the points, and they won outright.
How's our stuff coming? The winning bet on the Philadelphia Phillies.
Did I tell you the story about how I was withdrawing in $25 increments? I don't think I told you this.
No.
I didn't realize the mistake I was making, and then finally I got an alert from PropsUp. They're like, do you mean to be withdrawing $25 increments? Because that's fine, but we could give you one big check. I was making a mistake as I was going to withdraw from the account. So we're getting a series of... Don't worry, it's all coming. You guys will get your money. I promise.
I'd like to be able to address it. Calendar year 2022.
And you want to be our bookie?
It was just a mistake. I didn't realize that I was only withdrawing $25 at a time. It was an error I was making.
I'm about to pound my head into the glass.
I'm sorry, boys.
How are you doing today?
It's all coming.
I was doing better until I heard this news.
I'm sorry.
The contest was great.
The first two checks.
Old man. I'm getting $25 checks.
We're going to get paid.
It is very old man-ish. 2024.
2000, yeah. It's 23.
It's very old man-ish. I'm sorry. 312-332-ESPN. Feel Good Football Friday. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Yurko's keys in about an hour. Bears have a winnable game on the road in Atlanta. How important is a win right now for a 3-7 team? Just to feel good about themselves a little bit, especially the young quarterback. It's a topic that has been fun to kind of banter about this week. If they lose another game but the offense plays well, I think we'll be talking about some of the same stuff. You look long-term, yeah, come the spring, it'll be nice because you might be picking in the top 10. And when you're not quarterback hunting and they don't appear to be quarterback hunting next year, you could be in a great position of power to help facilitate someone, you know, another team moving into the top 10. And you could maybe get more than one draft pick. I mean, who knows? Come the springtime, it could be a good thing. But at what point does it also start to become a detriment when your young quarterback and your young offense and your young team keeps losing and losing and losing? Does it mean that they'll never be ready to win? I don't know. It's a good topic for debate. They certainly are going to find themselves in a position to win the game in Atlanta, I think, this weekend, because I can't picture the Atlanta Falcons running away and hiding from the Bears. So Yurko's going to break down his keys to the game about an hour from now. We'll continue to talk about the matchup. More football talk, too. I want to do player A, player B with you. We always
I'd love player A, player B. I'd love to. Football?
Right,
football. Or you come baseball?
No, no, football.
Right,
absolutely. This year. These are current stats.
Current stats.
2022.
I can't wait.
All right. Player A. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. So I'm going to write this down so I don't lose track. Player A. Season.
Season.
64.6% completion percentage. 6.8 yards per attempt, 19 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 93.2.
Okay.
Quarterback B, 64.5% completion percentage, 8.0 yards per attempt, 20 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 96.6. Who's having the better year?
Did you say 20 and 10 and the other one touchdown was?
19 to 7.
The completion percentage is
separated by a tenth of a point.
About the same, and the QB rating is?
One is 93.2, the other is 96.6.
Okay, a little bit difficult because one team may be better than the other team.
You are correct in your assessment.
The one team is probably better than the other team. So the quarterback play of one, the guy with, the I believe, the 2010.
The 20 to 10 touchdown
or 19 to 7 is probably the one that's having a better year.
Okay.
You didn't give me yardage either.
I did not. I gave you yards per attempt. I didn't give you total yardage.
Right.
You want yardage?
No. Give me the yardage per attempt again with the 19-7 guy.
6.8.
And the other guy?
8.0.
I like the guy that's got the 8.0 to 2010. That's the guy I like.
Okay. Yurko's going with quarterback B. Do you guys have a preference or an opinion? It's awfully close.
I would have gone with B, too. The lesser interceptions caught my ear.
Yeah. No, he's got more. He's got 10.
Right. I thought, who is 7?
19-7 is A.
Is who I would go with.
Okay, so you're going A.
Less interceptions.
You're going less interceptions. You're going A.
The football.
Okay. And Yurko's going B. Player A is Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Player B is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yurko picked Josh Allen. You guys picked Aaron Rodgers. That's why player A and player B is sometimes fun. And I only bring this up because I want to ask a question. I feel like it might be somewhat reactionary. And we're very much, we're all victims sometimes, the recency bias. And we watched last night's Thursday night game, and it was cold in Green Bay. And I know for one, when I walked away, and I was happy with the result. Like I said, I had Tennessee. I had a small wager on Tennessee getting
the
points. Not on the money line, just Tennessee getting the points. And I felt comfortable with it most of the game. It was one of those, Yurko, where they were never outside the number. You always feel pretty good about that when you've got that team. Never outside of that number. They took the early touchdown lead. You know, they went right down the field. You walk away from that game going, man, Aaron Rodgers, it just didn't look good. It didn't look good. He didn't throw an interception. He threw two touchdown passes. But it didn't look good. Something didn't look right. And that's why I wanted to look at those stats.
Right.
Because something doesn't look right with Aaron Rodgers.
It looks like his receivers and he are not on the same page. Like, he's throwing the ball to a place where he believes his receiver should be going to because of what the coverage is or how close the coverage is. So I'm going to try to throw it on the back. You're not beating a guy. You should be stopping and coming back to the ball. I think that's what he's thinking. And they're just, none of them are on the same page. None of them.
Should we be writing off Aaron Rodgers?
No.
You were definitive in that.
Yeah, it's not even remotely close.
I agree.
I wouldn't be writing him off. He's done it. He's been there.
Yeah.
He's already established. I mean, he's not playing to the level that he's been at, but he knows how to get to the top. Yeah. He's climbed the mountain. He knows where the top of the mountain is at.
Do you think this is wearing on him to the, nobody knows this. This is hard. We don't know Aaron Rodgers.
I think it bothers to live in the hell
That's
out of him.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think to the point where he says, you know what, the hell with it?
No.
No?
No. He's got another $100 million to make, and that's what he's going to make. He's going to put it in the bank, and he's going to go do ayahuasca for the rest of his life.
He can do that now.
Once he's done, and you definitely don't want to have a career that he's had and then want to go out like a punk. You don't want to go out like that.
Interesting.
You want to come back, you want to retool, and you want to go.
People dog him for winning only one Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
Think about that, how things have changed. You know, you used to, like Sylvia always says, one is the new none. You know, he used to die. It was easy. You could always kind of dog the guy that it was an easy way to take shots at Malone or even I love Barkley. I don't want to take shots at Charles Barkley, but Shaq does it a lot because he never won. Marino's probably the most famous case. Dan Marino's one of the, I think, without question, one of the 10 most talented, best quarterbacks to ever play in the league. Somehow never won. Yeah, I mean, he just
easily,
didn't. You know, he never won one. And it was always the thing that kind of followed Marino around. And, you know, it like Rodgers gets beat up over it, but he did win a Super Bowl. But it's always like, nope, doesn't matter. He only won one. One stinks. Doesn't matter. Not an all-time
great. And they've lost NFC championships at home, which is the killer.
They lost one as recently as 2 years ago.
I mean, that's what hurts. That's what hurts.
In a game in which he outplayed Tom Brady,
yes.
He still lost.
Yep. I mean, that's the killer.
So that is a killer. I don't think we should be counting him out yet either. I think last night was one of the first times all year, though, where I objectively looked at Aaron Rodgers and went, that was bad. He didn't look good last night. Not only does he not appear to be on the same page, Jerko, the ball didn't look good last night. He missed some throws last night. Yeah. It's weird to say that about Aaron Rodgers. Like, man, now he's just missing some throws.
When you did the stat thing, when I asked you 8.0 yards per attempt,
yes.
That's kind of an important thing.
I would agree with you.
Because yards per attempt, you know, that includes the incompletions.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yes, it does.
So yards per attempt kind of gives you an idea, an inclination of how good the quarterback is, too.
Yes, I agree with
quarterback
you.
Quarterback that struggles throwing a lot of quick screens, he's throwing a lot of stuff short, he's finding the check down on the back, not really taking chances downfield.
100%.
That's why you look at Mitch Trubisky, his yards per attempt are never that high because he never wants to go down the field. You know what I'm saying? Good quarterbacks want to go down the field. And he's got a full complement of receivers. Josh Allen does.
Yeah, he has. He does.
I mean, Stephon Diggs pretty damn good.
Stephon Diggs is great. Davis has been good.
Yeah.
When McKenzie is healthy, they've found ways to use
him. And meanwhile, we watched Aaron Rodgers. Now that I know it's Aaron Rodgers, we watched him struggle. We watched him not have time or not willing to wait and be patient enough to find Sammy Watkins downfield. He's had games where he's 4 yards an attempt. And when you got 4 yards, that's brutal.
Of course.
You don't recover from having 4 yards an attempt, throw the ball 30 times, 40 times, you've got like 175 yards. That's terrible. It's 15 straight games he hasn't thrown for 300 yards. You know that?
Is that right?
Aaron Rodgers.
That's shocking.
15 straight games he hasn't thrown for 300 yards.
I did not realize that, Eric. No. And that is a...
Well, if I didn't see it on the TV, I wouldn't know it either.
I did not realize that.
The TV told me, so I said, yeah, I'd share that with Carmen. Make it sound like I'm somewhat intelligent,
well,
which I'm not.
You're a learned individual. Yes. You are very intelligent. Oh, Aaron Rodgers might not be done, but you could stick a fork in the Green Bay Packers for this year.
They are done. Rashawn Gary's gone, too. Preston Smith gave you a sack and a half last night of the three that they had, but...
They're not 4-7.
They're not going to be able to get a consistent rush on there. And it looks now at 4-7, like you say, either San Francisco, I think there's another team out there that's going to probably end up being your seventh qualifier.
Like Washington, potentially. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to start beating up on each other, aren't they? Aren't there some division games left?
Oh, there's got to be.
In that group where they got to beat up on each other?
Like here, Washington still has on its schedule.
And remember, because
Washington
of the question.
Washington has two against the Giants still in the division. And the Cowboys. So they've got three division games.
And you remember the listeners gave us the great question that I asked about Paul Tagliabue at his last press conference.
Yes.
Did I ever think about going with rivalry weekend on the last couple of weekends? Yeah. And if you look, the NFC East in the last 2 weekends probably playing each other to help decide who's going to go to the playoffs or not.
Washington's last game is at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
To your point.
And what's Philadelphia's last game?
I will tell you right now. Hold on 1 second. Philadelphia's last game is week 18 at home against the New York football Giants.
There you go. Like our listeners wanted, like the good kid asked, And eventually the NFL said, yes, we're going to do it your way, Yurko.
Washington and the Giants still have both their matchups to be played. Philly and the Giants, how about that, still have both their matchups to be played. And if the Giants get a win this weekend, and I think they will, I haven't been a big believer in the Giants. Don't fail me now because I'm on the Giants minus three this weekend.
Yeah.
If the Giants get a win this weekend, they will move to, what, 8-2?
Yes.
I mean, jeez. Yeah, they'll be 8-2. What the hell is going on?
And we're still about 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from the final bye, where we can kind of fairly assess all teams against each other.
Is the are the Bears in that group that have the final byes this year?
I think there's one group of two after that.
Okay.
If I had to guess. Week 14 would be the last week of the byes.
The Bears still have three games before the bye.
Yeah.
Including this week. 312-332 ESPN. You taking... I don't know. You taking a victory lap, or is that way too petty now that the Packers are 4-7? Thoughts on Rodgers last night? Mike Vrabel does it again, dude. I mean, on a short week, I don't know. It's just they have to travel on a short week. Well, they went up there and.
You ask how Belichick wins sometimes, you know? How do they win? How does Vrabel win? Vrabel
comes
from the school of who? Belichick.
Belichick.
And then he was with Andy Reid, too.
He was.
You don't think he can't gleam a little bit off of both guys?
I'm very impressed, man. I got to tell you, it is just.
Are they prepared to play?
It sure seems like it, because on talent, you know, Burks had a great game last night. And they obviously believe in Burks. They drafted him in the first. They traded A.J. Brown, and they drafted him, so they obviously believe in him, and he had a great game last night. But I don't know how they do it. I mean, they're without their best defensive player. It doesn't matter. It's an incredible feat every year with them these last couple years. It's amazing on a short week to be that prepared and to look that good. In cold temperatures in Green Bay. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie are out at the Twin Peaks in Warrenville today. 2-6. We'll crosstalk with the guys at 2. We're at the Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace on Wednesday, before the Thanksgiving holiday break. So we'll do a football Friday and a Wednesday next Wednesday. Come by and see us for lunch, noon until 2:30. Waddle was texting me in the break a point that I very much agree with him on. And I think I said it 2 weeks ago after the Lions game, Eric. Who'd they lose to 2 weeks ago, the Packers? That was the Lions loss where he threw
three
interceptions at the goal line. You know, you wonder how much Aaron Rodgers' thumb is bothering him, and he's playing through a somewhat maybe significant thumb injury. Waddle was saying... last night, it looked like it may be more than any game yet to this point. Maybe it had something to do with the cold combined with a thumb injury. Certainly very cold in Green Bay last night. But that ball's not coming off his hand right. There's something not right. It's just not. And so maybe the thumb is much more serious than anybody really knows, and he's just tried to play through it at this point. You got to wonder if they shut it down. Because now that they are 4-7, if he does have a thumb injury, if they'd like to at least get a look at Jordan Love, or at the very least, wouldn't you like to showcase him a little if you could? If Jordan Love could do what Jimmy G did in a small sample when Tom Brady was suspended, look what it netted the New England Patriots. If somehow Jordan Love goes out there and puts six good games on film, how many do they have left? They have six games left, right? Yeah.
I believe so, 11. Yeah.
If he could put six good games on film, you know, does it help you where you could maybe, because I don't know that there's any trade value
whatsoever.
Two things
that could happen. You can either showcase him, or you can... show the world that he can't play.
Mm.
So well, I can go either one of two ways. Though.
Aren't you screwed either way, though, even if he stinks?
You might be. I mean, you're screwed for the rest of the year, but you're already done for the rest of the year.
No, I mean, like, you probably can't trade him anyway for much. And if he stinks, like, okay, you weren't going to be able to trade him for much anyway. I see what you're saying. I mean, yeah, he could go out there and look terrible. You know, Jimmy G went out there, played well in a four-game sample. Or 2.5. Didn't Jimmy get hurt, too? He played like 2.5 great games.
Right.
And that was all it took for people to become believers. So, that'll be interesting to see what the Packers do going forward. Because now at 4-7, it definitely feels like... And I think they have a trip to the Eagles coming up, don't they? It definitely kind of feels like... they play Sunday Night Football at the Eagles, Yerk. They'll have a little extra time, obviously. They played last night. But in Week 12, they play... that's the Sunday Night game next weekend for the holiday. Is Packers at Eagles. Not nearly as sexy as we thought it'd be to wrap up our Thanksgiving weekend, right?
No, and you'd want Favre in that one just to make it look like it's Rogers. Halfway decent.
We both did it today. I called him Favre once and so did you. You just said Favre.
Oh, did I?
I did it earlier.
Yeah.
I was like, Favre? What?
Well, it's much better with Rodgers there. Put it that way. If Rodgers is playing, at least you know they've got a chance.
Yeah, I'd be
Rodgers isn't playing. They don't really have a chance.
But he does not look right, man.
Inexperienced quarterback with inexperienced receivers.
Against,
I mean, if the veteran guys are already struggling.
Hey, Christian Watson's starting to show out. He's got 5 touchdowns his last 2 games. He's had an issue with the drops. That was an issue in college. And it was the knock on him. He's a superior athlete. And I mean superior. His measurables are off the charts. You saw him do the backflip. I mean, I'm so impressed by that. That kind of athleticism.
Just to be able to spring up like that.
It's great.
Do a somersault
Tyreek
backwards.
Tyreek Hill makes it look so easy, Eric. And Christian Watson did it last week. You're like, oh, jealous.
They can pop.
Of that explosive. Oh, my God. But he's showing out now the last 2 games. He's come to play. He's got 5 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. Norm's in Arlington Heights on ESPN 1000. Hey, Norm.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, not much. I know we're talking football here, but I wanted to comment on the topic you guys brought up earlier, right? Channel surfing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess first of all, I've been riding Fields and Komet the last couple weeks. So they're
hey, good for you. Life. There you go. Finally, it's paying off.
I actually drafted both of them, and I dropped Komet and I picked them back up. So, you know, what again? So, I thought it was an interesting topic, right? I thought it was maybe only me for channel surfing. I've been doing it since I was, I grew up in the 80s, 90s, and it was pretty cool. Like, all you had was channel surfing, right? You take a channel, go through them. My kids, my wife hate it. You know, right now, nowadays, right? Because, they're like, pick something. So, my wife actually wants to cancel Hulu Live. That's where I get all my, live shows. I love just, picking the show and going with it, right? History Channel, you name it.
Yeah.
ESPN, whatever it is. And I have a subscription for a lot of different, streaming channels. But I guess my question is, hey, should I give in on that or what? What do you guys think?
No, don't give in. Well, how else do you need that stuff? Stop it. You need your live sports, Norm. We're older. Norm's about our age, it sounds like. Grew up in the 80s and 90s. I think for us, it's I don't think it'll ever go away. I'm the same way. I sit there, and if I'm not dedicated to a game or anything that night, I'm bouncing around. I'm channel surfing.
Most of the time, the habits you develop at a younger age, are the habits that you kind of maintain the rest of your life.
Do you know what channel surfing landed me on Wednesday night at about, it was 10:30 maybe on Wednesday night?
It landed you on USA Channel.
Nope.
No.
It landed on one of our favorite movies. One of the best holiday movies ever made. One of the best Christmas movies ever made.
Elf.
Not Elf. That's a good call.
8-Bit Christmas.
Older. Much older.
Miracle on 34th Street.
And not that old. Got to go back to the 80s. Guy in a tank top.
Die
with
hard.
Shoes on.
Die hard.
And I mean, I caught like the beginning. I was the first 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's it. Guess
who's on a limo from the airport.
He was just upstairs talking to Holly for the first time, in the bathroom, washing up. And guess who was pot committed for the next hour and 40 minutes?
You were.
This guy.
Yep. As you should have been.
Of course. And it was just because I was, let's see what's on the HBO channels. I'm very old. I still have cable. And let's see what's on the HBO channels. And there was Die Hard in all of its glory.
See,
and
I don't start watching holiday movies until after Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. We've already started. We've watched Home Alone already once with the kids. We've had one go around for Home Alone.
Not for me.
I've seen Elf.
I'm going to watch Elf soon. They love Elf. I tried showing them Scrooged with Bill Murray. They were bored in 5 minutes.
Well, that's a weird type of comedy.
I love it. They're probably a little young for it.
Bill Murray's type of comedy is different.
They're probably too young for it. It's one of my probably top 10 holiday movies. I love Scrooge. So I will go back and watch it at some point during this holiday
Have you seen
season.
The ads for the new Christmas Story?
No.
A Christmas Story Christmas.
No.
Was it the one with Will Ferrell? Or is that a different movie altogether?
That's a different one.
No, it's with Ralphie as an adult.
Yeah, it's Ralphie as an adult, and the mom is in it. And, like, yeah, it's...
Is it going to be good or bad?
I don't know.
And is it actually... What's the kid that played Ralphie?
Yeah, it's actually him.
Billingsley? Is that his name, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
Peter Billingsley? Is that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so he's in it?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And I believe it takes place in the 70s.
Oh, I like that.
Right, like
he was a kid in the
40s. Yeah, right. Yeah. So like it's not him dealing with little TikTok.
I like
kids.
It.
You know what I mean? Like it's him dealing with his kids growing up in the 70s, I believe.
Is this hitting theaters or streaming?
No, it's streaming.
Okay.
I believe it's a podcast. I can Google things.
Can we watch it now? Like this holiday
I think
season?
So, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. This is going to be good. I see it right now. I see the trailer going. All right. We got to find out where this is because I'd like to watch it this holiday season. That's another one that the kids love. They love A Christmas Story, so I'm sure this will give
HBO
us
HBO Max.
HBO Max. Perfect. I have that. Is it on now?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good.
Came out yesterday.
Good reviews, bad reviews?
Dude, come on.
Here, IMDb is giving it 6.9 out of 10 at this point.
That's not bad.
Not
for
bad
that.
At all. Not bad at all. All right, we'll check that out. 312-332-ESPN is the number. It's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
What do you think Justin Fields' prop bet is for rushing yards this weekend, the Week 11 matchup in Atlanta?
It's been low, so I'm guessing this weekend it'll be over 74 yards.
Yeah, you're close, Yurk. Not quite that high, but I mean, I'm telling you. Right now, DraftKings and BetMGM have him at over under 69.5. Caesars also has that number posted, it looks like. Bet Rivers has 71.5. What's so amazing is that David Montgomery's total is 61.5. The running back has the running back's total is 8 yards fewer than the quarterback.
You would guess the running back would get both sets of carries, right? They don't plan on introducing the rookie, do they?
Well, I'm sure Trestan Emery will play. I would think so.
Would he get 5-6 carries?
Maybe 7
so
carries.
Of the 10 carries that would have gone, 4 more end up going with Montgomery. I mean, that's what I would guess, but Montgomery averages less than 4 yards per carry.
He does, but I like where you're thinking. It might be a good week to maybe hit his over because he might have more of a workload without Khalil Herbert. I kind of like
but where even, you're... even if he gets 15 carries, the odds are he's at 60 yards.
Well, I'll also tell you this, Yurk. Atlanta's rush defense
is terrible.
29th in expected points, okay? They were brutal just in general last week. Carolina rushed for over 200 yards against the Falcons. Deontay Foreman had 130 yards. They averaged almost 5 yards attempt. Listen to this. 45% of the Panthers' rush attempts last week graded out successful. 45%. That's a big number. So it's bad. So like 15 to 20 carries for Montgomery, like that could be with more of a workload because Khalil Herbert is out. I kind of like where you're thinking there. If that's where you were going.
That's where I was
headed. You sound like you're trying to talk yourself into it.
I'm trying to talk myself into it, but it seems that that number is a more legitimate number than,
yeah,
you know, than Fields' number.
Like,
but I'm trying to take a look at Fields and how many times has he been over 69 yards in a game. Rushing.
Well, he's been in the last three. Jackson's are 60.5. His total this week for the game against Carolina, 60.5.
So what's the exact number you have for?
69.5 seems to be what's most readily available.
All right. So against Dallas, he only rushed for 60 yards.
Because that's an under.
All right. That's under. So he's gone above that number 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
4 times.
And it's been 4 of the last 5 games he's been over that number.
There you go.
Because early in the year, he only rushed 28, 20, 47, 52, 47.
They weren't doing it as well.
And then 88, 82, 60, 178, 147, where it's gone through the roof.
Unbelievable. 60. I mean, Lamar Jackson's are a full 9 yards less than Justin Fields' Vegas total for that specific prop bet this weekend. I just is like, wow, you know. I don't know what else you can say. Now, at some point, I feel like they're going to run into a team that makes sure that doesn't happen. But it's just so much easier said than done. Because he's so good at even when they're not designing stuff, just extending plays and spinning out of trouble and running. He's so big and strong. He's a weird combination, man.
How many games has he passed for more than 178 yards? His largest rushing total.
2?
3. 179, 190, and 208.
Jeez. Only 1 200-yard game.
Yep. And it's 208 yards.
One. And, okay, I mean, like, we don't have to, like, beat that whole thing to a dead, like, beat a dead horse. I mean.
No, but it is what it is.
It is.
You see exactly what you have there.
And at some point, they're going to have to figure out how to be a more explosive passing offense. I mean, they are. You can't. This is not a sustainable way to be. It's awesome and it's fun and he's incredible. Like I was saying, he's that rare combination. I mean, he's not quite as big as Ben Roethlisberger, don't get me wrong, but like he's proving increasingly difficult to actually get to the ground because he is so big and strong. And then the wheels are just a guy that big shouldn't run that fast. but he does. Somehow he does. And it's pretty remarkable and pretty impressive to watch. At some point here, some teams you figure is going to come up with a way to make sure that it doesn't happen. I don't think it's this weekend. I think you could have another big day. You've got great conditions. You're indoors. You're on the fast field. And as I've explained and documented to you, you've got an Atlanta rush defense that has been porous all season. It's been really, really bad at stopping the run. They were bad last time they were on the field. They've had a little extra time to prepare for this game, but I don't think it's going to matter. It might not be this weekend. Maybe we see it next weekend in an outdoor game outside of New York City against a much better Jets defense. At some point, a defensive coordinator, a defensive mind, a good staff is going to say, it's not happening to us. This is how we're going to stop it. I just don't think it's going to be this weekend yet. I still think he's going to have a big week with his legs. Now, does he go over 70 yards? I don't know. I mean, it's a boatload of yards for a quarterback to rush for.
I mean, the crazy thing is one big run does it.
For him?
Yeah.
You're right.
And early on, he had that big 24-yard run, and you were feeling pretty good about whatever was going to happen the rest of the day.
Like, think about the first play from scrimmage, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Was that a 24-yarder?
I believe it was a 24-yarder,
You feel great.
Left side, there he goes. Hello, how are you?
And I don't know. I don't play props, really, so I don't follow them maybe as close as I should. I don't know what that number looked like in the last couple of weeks. I'd wanted to check it for today because I'm like, this is crazy what he's doing.
I'm pretty sure it was around 55
right,
the last couple of weeks.
It was less than that.
They can't even keep up with it. I mean, it's an absurd number. And then Vegas is like, well, what are we going to do here with this guy? I mean, to see a quarterback have a total that much higher than the team's number one running back is just, there can't be any other scenario or situation like that in the NFL right now. You know, maybe you get it from time to time with Baltimore because of Lamar Jackson. But there just can't be anything else quite like it. And it's incredible. You got a little head cold over there, kid?
Just a little
I'm
bit.
Sensing it.
I got a sniffle.
You got the sniffle.
I got a sinus thing happening
right
now.
You got a head cold. You got one of those November colds.
David Montgomery, how many times has he been over?
100?
No. His number that they've set it for.
Oh, geez. He's only rushed for like 480 yards or something.
434 to be exact.
434. Twice.
Three times.
That was close.
62, 67, and 122. The outlier.
That was the outlier.
122 yards. And that is an outlier. It's a big one.
And I like David Montgomery, but doesn't this just prove the point, kind
of? 28, 30% of his yardage in one game.
You know,
I think it just proves it proves whatever point we want it to prove. It proves the fact that he's been limited in the amount of carries that he gets. 17 being a season high, 3 being a season low. That as great as David Montgomery, as great as people think David Montgomery is, he's a guy. He's a running back.
Yeah.
That's all he is. Same thing with Herbert. And Herbert might be a little bit better than Montgomery, but it's just still a guy. That's all.
I think it's easy to appreciate David Montgomery, and you should. But it also, I think, very much drives home the idea that you shouldn't pay running backs a second contract and you should just keep moving the chains or move the drill, however
right.
you want to put it.
Yeah.
And like they should be on to Khalil Herbert.
Cycle them through is what the term you're looking for.
Thank you, York.
Cycle them through. Just keep cycling them through.
For his career, David Montgomery averages 3.9 yards per attempt. That is not irreplaceable.
Right. You can find that.
And you can appreciate him and you should.
Yeah. But if you're going to tell me he's the better blocker, the answer to that is I don't care. I'll find somebody else that can block.
I would agree with that, but okay.
Yes, I don't care.
You just you cycle through. Yeah. You say, okay, thank you, and you know you can go get paid somewhere else now, and we're going to go on to the next guy. And then 3 years from now, they'll be doing the same. And it's just that's...
Right. That's the way it goes.
Of the way you should treat it.
Right.
Because you can really find them just about everywhere. And if you do all the other things well, if you teach your O-lineman well and you find the right O-lineman and your scheme is good... you pretty much anybody can run the football in this league.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's going to be much of a conversation come the offseason.
I mean, Travis Henry was good last night. Derrick Henry was good last night. I mean, he did the little thing with the jump pass.
Isn't that
funny?
Play.
I thought I was watching Tim Tebow do it again. You know,
that's right.
That's what Tim Tebow used to do. Do the little jump pass after he ducked in there by the goal line.
You're right.
Jump up and find his tight end. Congratulations. Oh, boy, what innovation. But I don't mind that come the goal line. Find a way to get the ball into the end zone, period, right?
Yes.
I don't mind the little trickeration once you get to the goal line. I don't care how I score 7 as long as I score 7.
I love it.
So that's fine. But his over-under yesterday was 103.
He was way under that.
And he was way under that. Looked like he was trending to get over it. And then they hit the brakes in the fourth quarter.
You know, even Derrick Henry, God love him. His last 18 games, going back to last year, less than 4.4 yards per carry. You know, and he's, you know, so it's just, he's important to them because of the way they play. The quarterback's got some limitations, although it didn't look like it last night. He played great. It was one of the best games I've ever seen Ryan Tannehill play. But, yeah, I think, like, I think everybody's bought in basically now into how you should handle the running back position, certainly at the NFL level. 312-332-ESPN if you want to talk Bears, questions, thoughts for Week 11. Yurko's Keys coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes.